This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
QBR of 117, went back to average in
2017. QBR, he had a rating of 117.
Jesus Christ. He had a rating of 117. We still call it the quarterback rating, though, don't
I know,
we?
But you don't shorten it to QBR.
What the hell is the QBR?
No one knows!
Jesus.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
I have a definition if you want it.
You can read it to me. I've read it a million times. I still don't know what the hell it means. To be fair, I don't really know what the hell quarterback rating means either. Hour three kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Let's kick off some hour three headlines. Got some SEC news, as it does look like Derek Mason is leaving Auburn to go be the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma State. Seems like a really bad sign for Brian Harsin, but Derek Mason did a pretty good job coaching Auburn's defense. He's still a really good defensive mind. Seems kind of strange he's leaving the SEC altogether, but is there anything to make of this?
I think you kind of just hit it on the head. I think you got to be kind of concerned if you're Harsin, I guess.
Which Harsin maybe knows, like, hey, I'm getting out of the first chance I get, or I might get fired next year.
He probably told Mason, like, hey, if you get an opportunity, go ahead and get out. Yeah, I guess that's really my only takeaway. I mean, Oklahoma State's been a good program past few years. Their defense been pretty good the past few years. I don't know where their defensive coordinator from last year went. I guess he got hired somewhere.
Didn't he get hired? Was it Oklahoma? Where did he end up? He went somewhere big. Was it LSU? Where did he go?
Auburn's defense coordinator?
No, Oklahoma State's defense coordinator. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. If they have an opening,
he got a big job. Was it Georgia? It was Georgia, right?
Oh, he may have went to Georgia.
Did he take over after Lanning left?
He may have. I'm not sure exactly where he went, but that defense has been really good, the past few years, so.
Ohio State. Okay. I knew it was one of those damn blue bloods.
Yeah, me befuddled.
Jim Knowles. He left Oklahoma State and went to Ohio State. So, yeah, went to a big time program.
Not like Mason's picking up an empty, cabinet over there, but.
As well, Muschamp, it'll be fun. Is he running the defense now at Georgia? Is that what happened there?
Oh, they may have just promoted him. Yeah. That would make sense.
Okay. Anyways.
Some NFL news going into the weekend as far as, some people playing and things like that. The Packers are expected to activate Za'Darius Smith for the playoff game tomorrow. It'll be the first action since week one for Smith, but he will be back and is expected to play, Saturday night against the 49ers. So adding some pass rush there for the Packers, a team that just seems to keep getting healthier and healthier. Outside of that, in the NFL, we kind of mentioned Henry's expected to start. The Panthers are expected to hire former Giants head coach Ben McAdoo as their offensive coordinator. Obviously, they fired Joe Brady late in the season, kind of as that scapegoat.
Okay, Ben McAdoo, let's go.
Kind of Ben McAdoo as their solution to, their offensive problems.
That seems like a weird hire.
Yeah,
I don't know what Ben McAdoo, what his credentials are as an offensive coordinator. I mean, I guess he was with the Packers, I think, as an OC.
Yes.
Was the Giants as an OC in 2004 and from 14 and 15 before being the head coach? That doesn't seem like it went very well. Let's see.
I think it took him to the playoffs, didn't he? Maybe, or
he took him as the head coach, right?
Yeah,
was he the coach with Odell? Their offense was great in 14 and 15. He was the quarterback's coach in Green Bay. So, Aaron Rodgers, what the hell is he coaching? Yes. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. So that's just somebody they hired there.
Young innovative mind of Ben McAdoo.
his rivals, Joe Brady, like they had. But yeah, that's coaching news outside of, you know, obviously interviews and stuff are still going on. Lots of people getting second interviews across the league, so we'll see how those play out.
Seems like Matt Rhule's in trouble. Rhule's in trouble. And hiring Ben McAdoo is not going to help them next year. It seems like they're going to be a disaster next year.
It feels like that whole organization can't figure out what their organization is. They were making win-now moves. They were also talking about the rebuild in press conferences. They've tried 17 billion different quarterbacks. They made Joe Brady a scapegoat. Just feels like a disaster.
He's got a 7-year contract, though. He has a 7-year contract, so he's going to get paid one way or the other. Took Jay-Z 7 years, remember? Isn't that something like he said?
Is that something Matt Rhule said?
Yeah, he said something about it took Jay-Z 7 years. Because that immediately... Or something. I don't know.
If he's quoting Jay-Z, I flip the script on Matt Rhule. He will be successful one day.
Kind of a surprising hire, I think. At least it caught me by surprise in college football yesterday, as Texas hired Gary Patterson, former TCU coach, as a special assistant to Steve Sarkisian. What do you think, Hayden?
Seems kind of weird to me. I saw Robin the Sunset just retire, not somebody's assistant. The first I saw about that was it was a Texas game on, I believe it was Tuesday or Wednesday, when Brown with Tennessee was playing, and he had a Texas quarter zip on. It just seemed weird. Like, you never really – that's like his arch rival, and it's been the bane of his existence since he came into the Big 12, and he's, like, wearing their colors now. It's kind of different.
No, it does feel very strange. I was with you, John. I figured he would just – you know, go make some more country music and hit the road. I didn't think he would try to fight to go be another head coach. It just felt like his career had run its course.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the reports were he was just tired of TCU not getting into the game of NIL. Like, he wanted to still coach, but just knew that he wasn't going to be able to compete in the changing landscape and get good enough players. And I guess he didn't want to tarnish his legacy anymore. But
I love Patterson.
Who's TCU's coach now?
I don't remember. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know who they hired either. Did y'all see yesterday that Florida hired that guy as a game changer coordinator or something like that?
No, I missed that one.
Oh, they hired Sonny Dykes.
That's right.
Yeah.
How did we forget that?
I missed that. A game changer coordinator?
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
I'll have to look it up.
Speaking of coaches in Texas going to the NFL, apparently the Houston Texans have given an interview and are considering hiring Josh McCown, longtime NFL veteran, and I believe was coaching high school football.
Did you see the thing about this where they were like hoping other people interview him so they feel justified on if they actually pull the trigger?
And apparently, like the GM there with the Texans is just like his boy, so maybe just interviewed him like you said, just to get him more interviews, like to make him actually seem like a head coaching candidate.
See, I'm the kind of person of it. If that's what you want to do, just do it. Why do you want to wait and see what everybody else is doing and want their approval? Just go do you.
I think maybe he's just trying to do him a solid and get him in, like, talking, like, get him in, like, in the conversation.
It sounds like they want him, though, so other teams that interview him so they feel better about what they're doing if they hire him. Look, somebody else wanted him too. We had to hire him.
Well, they interviewed him last year, and they, you know, there was talk about how interested they were in him, and you know, I think they were kind of laughed off and then settled on their 18th choice. But
they want him interviewed because I think they really just want to hire McCown.
I would be very intrigued by them hiring Josh McCown. I could see a weird world where it works.
Yeah, be yourself. Don't care what other – just because nobody else is buying that T-shirt, you buy that T-shirt. You may find out later that if it gets wet, it melts off and disappears, and that's why nobody else is buying it. But that's for you to find out. I hope they do it. Do it, Texas. Why not? Become ungovernable.
I found the story on this coordinator.
Yeah, please give me who this guy is and what the hell he's going to do here. Is this like Matthew McConaughey being the minister of culture at Texas? Like, that's what it sounds like so far. Game changer.
So the article I'm reading from is Trey Wallace just posted this. So Billy Napier has just hired this guy. It's called the game changer coordinator, but it's essentially the same thing as a special teams coordinator. And the guy's name is Chris Couch. And he was with Napier at Louisiana Lafayette.
Okay. Does it say what his job responsibilities are going to be?
I think it's just called game changer coordinator, but it's really just like special teams coordinator.
Okay, so they just called it that.
They're like those fun coaches that, you know.
Well, and I think like in special teams, like if you have a big play, that does change. Like special teams probably changes the game more than any. Like with big plays, yeah. I mean, you get a big kick return, you block a punt, you turn the ball over yourself. Like all of that, I guess, does change the game. That's
I just think the graphic's kind of funny. It's just like the official, like their recruiting graphic and. The little bar underneath it says game changer coordinator.
Good for him. Sounds like a cool
job. He kind of looks like Moose.
Hope he updates it on his LinkedIn. It'd also be funny if that was Niedermeyer's just alter ego now. Yeah. He has shaved his head and become a game changer. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. We are hours away, Charlie, a mere hours, 26 hours away from the divisional round of the playoffs. FanDuel Sportsbook wants to hook you up, help you make even more money. New customers, like our friend over here, Hot and Wallin, let's go.
He's made it.
He's 21. He's able to get on FanDuel and take advantage of his 30-1 enhanced odds where you can bet $5 to win $150 on any team this weekend. He had the nerve to tell me, I think I'm taking the Packers, John. I don't feel very good about the Titans. And I told him, Hayden, shut the hell up. Take the Titans and then take all that money and then put it on the Packers. And now you've turned $5 into, like, let's just call it $280 roughly. Boom. What a great start to your weekend. Sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook and make a deposit to claim your 30-1 enhanced odds. There's no better place to bet the NFL playoffs than on America's number one sportsbook. If you already have FanDuel Sportsbook, you can get hooked up with $50 when you refer a friend, and your friend gets $50 too. Why wouldn't you take advantage of that? Don't miss your chance to win $150 on a $5 bet when you use the promo code TALKSPORTS, one word when you sign up. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, use the promo code TALKSPORTS, and pick your divisional playoff team before kickoff. Take the Titans. Remember the Titans. You must be 21 and older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users for filling site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Hayden, did you go to the app? Did you find the promos that I was talking about?
Yes, I found them.
So, like, if you are a new user trying to take advantage of this, you have to turn your microphone on whenever you talk, and then you have to search promos at the top of the page. It's just right there on the very top. You can't miss it. You hit promos, and then you find which one you're looking for. You can scroll and find ones you didn't even know about and take advantage of it. So you're opted in. So now you can take advantage of your 30-1 odds, Hayden. You're welcome. Mm. You're welcome. Are you taking the Titans or the Packers?
Bengals.
God. I like your idea. That's plausible.
Okay. Sounds like he's not doing that. Sounds like he's taking the Packers.
No, I think
I'm rooting for the 49ers. I actually think the 49ers can win the game.
No.
No? Charlie, can the 49ers win this game on Saturday?
Kind of think they might.
Kind of think they might? Okay, that's the backup I need. I think they can too. My problem is Jimmy Garoppolo's never played in like under weather that's under 40 degrees.
Oh, jeez.
He's one of the only quarterbacks in the NFL that can say that he's never played in weather under 40 degrees.
That's
wild.
That
was impossible.
I don't know, especially like being in New England, you would think that
can't be true.
I guess he never started.
He only played in the first three games of the year.
The Titans Thursday night game was under 40 degrees.
I don't think it was. It was pretty balmy that night, actually.
Was it? Maybe I'm dumb. Probably.
I mean, it was in December, but I want to say it was pretty balmy. Like, I wasn't wearing like
It was warm this month.
I think I just had like a light.
Better. I think I had like shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
For that game.
Yeah. It was like 60 or something degrees. Like it was.
Forgot Christmas was like 70 degrees. Sit on the back patio and watch TV outside. Yeah. Kind of Christmas.
Never played in weather under 40 degrees. So that seems problematic for your chances of picking Jimmy Garoppolo to beat the Packers. Although, you know, if the Packers are going to lose to the 49ers, it's probably going to be because of, you know, the run game. And, you know, after the catch and just giving the ball to their playmakers and letting them, like, you know, shred Green Bay's defense. Cam, you picking the Packers or the 49ers?
I'm taking the Packers. I do think the 49ers have a chance, but I've been in on the Packers as who I think is coming out of the NFC for a while, so I think I'm just going to stick with that.
I have liked the Packers, you know, called them the best team pretty much the entire season. But as we're here on the doorstep, man, this just feels like a bad matchup for them.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I don't think the 49ers are a great matchup for really anybody. They just, yeah, they can do the things that, you know, slow the game down, play good defense, keep you off the field, got weapons. They're dangerous. They're very dangerous.
You know, they could have easily beaten that Packers team, you know, whatever week it was, 3 or 4, whenever Rodgers had to go, you know, kick the game-winning field goal with no timeouts and hit two plays to Devontae Adams. But, like, it just seems like a bad matchup. I know we talked about the cold, but, like, to me, the cold makes me think of, like, the most physical team that's going to be able to run the ball is going to win, and that seems like the 49ers. I know Green Bay has a run game, but, man.
Maybe we get a lot of A.J. Dillon.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Maybe maybe the cold weather unlocks Jimmy G. Maybe he's better in the cold.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
We've just never seen him at this level.
Perhaps
never
that
seen
is
him
why
the
Patriots liked him so much, that he was just practicing in the cold all the time and was excellent in practice.
Maybe. That could be it. That could be the key.
So Jimmy Garoppolo has never started. He did take 3 kneel downs for the Patriots whenever it was under
40 I bet they were really
degrees.
Good kneel downs.
He is the only quarterback. There have been 101 different starting quarterbacks since
Holy
2014
cow.
To start a game with temperatures below 40, and he isn't one of them.
Holy cow. That's insane. That's an insane stat.
Go ahead, Troy.
I was just going to say, I think it just kind of comes down to can the Packers get up early on the 49ers and limit them running the football? Because if the 49ers can, you know, set the tone from the beginning, if they can set the pace, then they can continue to run the football, and it won't have to come down to Jimmy G. Like you were mentioning, the cold weather obviously benefits their physicality. I just don't know how they find an answer for the 49ers passing game with a secondary that consists of Emmanuel Mosley,
E-man.
Josh Norman, Jaquiski Tartt, and Jimmy Ward.
Yeah, I mean, the 49ers are pretty much all year have tried to run zone defense, and they've done a pretty good job of doing it at times, like despite like, you know, teams knowing what they're running, like they've still been able to be pretty productive.
That front seven.
Yeah. Now Rodgers is obviously a different animal, but it's not a slam dunk. The Packers are getting all their guys back either, like you said, Cam. I saw they're still listed as questionable.
Yeah. Smith is supposed to play.
But as far as Alexander and Bakhtiari go, they're still questionable.
Yeah, no confirmation on them yet. They were at practice this week, but I think they've been limited all week. So, yeah, we will see if we actually get them. Both of those would be huge because, obviously, like we said, Bosa's on track to play. And then Debo's just a problem as and Ayuk pretty much as a receiver. It would be nice to have Jair for either of them.
I mean, I think Jennings is going to be really good in this game, too, just when it comes to physicality. And, I mean, he's kind of, you know, at least against the Cowboys, I want to say he had 3 catches, and at least 2 of them, I think, were third down chain movers.
Yeah.
Like, he was
at least the first 2 for sure, I remember.
I know the last one was, too. It was like a 3rd and 4 or whatever, and he threw it to him. Like
it was third downs all across the board.
He's kind of his safety blanket there, and you know is able to, you know, kind of get open and can box people out. And
I hope they keep leaving his receiving prop at 9.5 yards. Cause
is that what it's been?
Yeah, it's been awesome because he catches like at least 1 15-yard pass every game. It's been awesome.
I would say Jennings has a pretty good chance of getting in the end zone this game.
Yeah,
I'd say he's probably going to be pretty effective for the 49ers. And again, when you're talking about the cold weather, and I think it's supposed to be 7 degrees. It's going to be a cold night in Lambeau. I just feel like San Francisco's got a lot of guys you don't want to tackle in the cold.
Yeah.
Between Ayuk and Debo and George Kittle and Juwan Jennings and, you know, even
that
San Francisco's
a physical
run
group.
Game. Like, that's just a physical team. And I at a certain point, it happens to every quarterback. I don't know if it's getting ready to happen to Aaron Rodgers at this point, but, like, I know that, like, these outdoor quarterbacks that are used to the cold, we think of them as like being able to handle it and thrive up there. Now, granted, it hasn't necessarily worked for Rodgers, who, you know, had his fair share of home losses in the playoffs. But, man, like, saw Brett Favre break down and not be able to win in Lambeau anymore. You know, when it got really, really cold against the Giants that one time in the NFC Championship. We saw Tom Brady, his last game, when it was really cold in Foxborough against the Titans, not be able to win that game. And Aaron Rodgers is getting a little bit older up there. He's, you know, what, 38? Packers are kind of an old offense, or at least, you know, Adams is getting up there. at least in age. I mean, he's not old by
he's
any means.
He's what, like 27, 28?
Yeah, he's not. He's not old. He's not old by any means. But as a receiver, I guess getting a little close. But Rodgers gets hit a couple of times, and that toe starts getting cold. His little bones
feel
start
it.
Getting told.
COVID toe. Oh,
and just be careful, Hayden. Just be careful. Maybe take the 49ers.
I like the 49ers.
Just take Juwan over 9.5 receiving yards.
I kind of feel like they blow. I feel like Green Bay scores to win with like 4 or 5 minutes left, but I think Green Bay.
I feel like Green Bay plays
a
close game
every
week anyway. But
I think Green Bay is going to try to shorten the clock. I think both teams are going to be trying to grind it out. I think it's going to be very low scoring. So yeah. My gambling advice, since we're doing a FanDuel segment, is Titans to win with the new users, and then I would probably actually take my $150 and put it on the 49ers to lose by less than 5.5 to cover the number. I can see the Packers, you know, winning, but I think they'll win by, you know, 4 points or something like that. I am a little worried about Mason Crosby.
Yeah.
The Packers have the worst special teams in the league by far.
That is a factor. Especially if you said it's going to be a low-scoring game. You're going to need those field goals.
Yep. The Packers have the worst special teams in terms of DVOA by far this year. I want to say they're like at a negative 5%, which would be by far the lowest of any team that's made it to the Super Bowl. I think the lowest so far has been like negative 2. So, like, they have a crippling special teams. And Mason Crosby has not been reliable at all. And, you know, they don't really have good kickoff coverage either. You saw Tony Pollard break one on Sunday before he got called back. Sorry, that was a 49ers game. But you see the Packers aren't really having any, you know, big plays themselves. Just be a little careful.
What it comes down to for me is, like, I mean, they played in week 4. Or week 3, whatever week it was.
I think it was 4 or 5.
And when it came down to it, Packers went down the field and got what they needed to get whenever they wanted to. I think that's what they can do every time. And especially now that Lazard is actually a bigger part of the offense, it's going to be harder for that secondary to guard him and Adams when they need to get down the field.
To me, that is the most intriguing game of the weekend. I know it's not the best game. You know, people are going to think Bills – Bills and Chiefs. Call mom. Bills and Chiefs probably going to get the credit for being the best game, but to me the most intriguing is Packers.
Yeah.
49ers.
If the 49ers win this game, are they going to the Super Bowl?
Well, they beat the Rams. I was saying. They know how to beat the
Rams.
They
kind of own the Rams. And
I feel like Brady would actually pick apart their zone defense, but like, I don't know if Tampa's defense can be physical enough. Yeah. That would be a fun game. But like, who knows? Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be 70% and like isn't going to be able to play and – if we'll get a big Trey Lance moment, who knows?
They gotta feel so dumb to if like Jimmy Garoppolo takes us to another Super Bowl and they waste all those picks on Trey Lance. Like, what are you thinking? Like, because you're almost gonna get pressured into getting rid of Garoppolo like after the season just because you spent all those picks on Lance.
Yeah,
and you'd be like, well, guys, taking us to 2 Super Bowls. Like,
I think if I'm having to make a pick, I would pick the Packers to win a close game. So the 49ers cover the 5.5, but the Packers win a close one. I think that's where I'm leaning. Let's catch a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the other 3 games. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Is Jimmy Garoppolo even under any pressure in this game, by the way? Like, we didn't really dive into that, but, like, is Aaron Rodgers even under any pressure? Like, because it feels like both quarterbacks might be gone if their team loses, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say Rodgers not really. People would probably be like, Rodgers just out there, you know. He probably just wanted to be out of Green Bay anyways. And then Garoppolo, people are like, I don't know. I guess he probably has a little bit more pressure just because people were talking about Trey Lance, you know.
If Rodgers comes up small in this game and then has his LeBron moment where LeBron takes off his jersey whenever the Delonte West rumors were, like, really circulating when they lost to the Cavs and just – or lost to the Celtics and then just, like, leaves.
Yeah.
You'll see the Packers, like, fans completely turn on him.
Oh, absolutely.
Completely turn on him. Looking at the other 3 games – I think this is the end of Tom Brady's season. I don't know if I'm going to be ready to call that he's ready to retire, but it does seem like the Rams are going to beat the Bucks. That's my favorite bet of the weekend, probably.
I'm with you on
by
that.
By far.
Yeah, I got the Rams in that game as well.
You got the Rams too as well, Charlie?
Yeah, I think they win by like 10 points.
Hayden, you're doing clean sweep or are you taking Brady?
I like the Rams. I think their secondary is probably good enough to keep up with Gronk and Mike Evans.
Yeah, let's see. You just throw Ramsey on Evans, and it's
I guess Fournette's coming back, though, right?
Fournette's coming back, but do we have an update on Tristan Wirfs? Like, he looked awful against the Eagles.
Yeah,
like, that
I
was a big
seen
injury.
Any updates
like,
on him.
I saw an update an hour ago. He's expected to be a pregame workout game time decision, which is never a good thing.
Not for your tackle, especially. Yeah. Like, he's going to have to be mobile to get there. Like, you know, the Rams have two really good pass rushers off the edge, and that's not even counting, like, Aaron Donald, like, up the middle. So, like, that's the difference in the game. I think the Rams comfortably win if Wirfs isn't playing, but I think the Rams win a close one if he does play and is able to go. But, yeah, that's my favorite pick of the weekend. Matt Stafford beating Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be something? Stafford could potentially have to beat, you know, Kyler Murray, whatever. But then, like, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and then, like, you know, maybe Tannehill or Josh Allen, like all the guys that you kind of rank in the top three, you might have to run through all of them.
That'd be funny.
Kyler Murray has been called a top five quarterback, you know, this year at times. Mm-hmm. Like, to beat all of them in the playoffs would be a pretty good run for Stafford, who's been a career loser, for lack of a better term, right? I mean, like, he's been talented, but never been able to put it together and win. I mean, last week was his first playoff win.
Man, and he still has as many as Dak.
That's it. You guys, many?
Yeah.
Although I'll give Dak the tiebreaker because at least one year he had the first round bye, so.
Sure, fair enough.
He made it to the second round at least twice, so I'll give him credit for that.
Fair enough. Well,
the Bills are kind of in a similar situation, like where, you know, Stafford, if you're him and you run through those quarterbacks, that's a pretty good run on the way to a championship.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills have a chance to, like, exact all their revenge on, like, everyone who's wronged them before. They already beat the Patriots, who kicked their ass forever.
Yeah.
They get a chance now to beat the Chiefs, and, you know, you've seen the picture of Stephon Diggs hanging out on the field watching the Chiefs celebrate last year and, you know, talking about how he wanted to soak it in. Now he's got a chance to get his revenge.
That's why I'm on the Bills, to be honest. Like, I remembered that, and I was like, you know what?
Yeah, Stephon Diggs, like, that was it.
He's been holding that in the whole time.
I would say the entire team has. I would say there's something to that, and you did see it in the regular season matchup where the Bills just beat the hell out of the Chiefs. I do think that game mattered more to them. Now it's a different situation. I did see a stat, which I'm not sure how impressive it is or not, but, like, no team has ever won at Arrowhead twice in the same season.
Oh.
Granted, like, most teams probably don't ever play there twice in the same season because, you know, you only play there once other than the playoffs. But, like, I just found that to be a weird stat.
It is a weird stat.
So the Bills are trying to be the first team to do it. But then they could beat, you know, their biggest rivals, the Chiefs, or at least, like, their biggest quarterback rival with Mahomes and recent history. And then maybe beat the Titans, Music City Miracle, a team that's beat them twice the last 2 years, and, you know, kind of get that revenge from 2001. And then, or 2000, and then you get maybe Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, you know, who kicked your ass for 20 years along with the Patriots. It could be a magical run for them as well. Do you think they beat Kansas City this weekend? Who you got, Charlie?
That is the game that I really cannot figure out. You know, I feel like there is something to be said for going into Arrowhead twice and beating the Chiefs, especially with how that first game went. Maybe that makes it more difficult. I still do think that the Bills have the matchup advantage. They match up with the Chiefs well.
They've been building to try to beat them. Like, they have put everything they have into trying to catch and pass the Chiefs because they knew that was their biggest competition.
The biggest thing is, you know, can the Chiefs spread run game, find holes, and open things up for their offense a little bit more? Obviously, the Bills will play with more corners on the field than any other team in the NFL at a higher rate than any other team in the NFL. So the Chiefs can spread them out and then get, you know, quicker guys that can kind of find those holes like McKinnon and like Helaire. At this point, I would play McKinnon more. So if maybe those guys can spring some runs, you know, that opens things up for the Chiefs a little bit. However, I think I like the Bills here. I think so.
That line, is that still down at 1.5, Hayden, when you were just looking?
I didn't see it.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
I was going to say, I know the money has kind of came in on Buffalo. I was wondering if any of it had gone back on the Chiefs. I can't imagine telling people before the season that, you know, the Chiefs would have a home game in the playoffs and be, you know, only a 1.5-point favorite. But
Has the Chiefs been favored every game this year? I think they have. They've ended the Bucs, haven't they?
Were the Chiefs favored?
When things were going poorly for them.
Were the Chiefs favored at home against the Chargers? I guess they were.
In, like, week 14, the Thursday night game?
Yeah. On the road.
I think they were.
They were for about 3.
They were 3-point favorites.
3.5, yeah. I would imagine they have been. And now, you know, basically a coin flip at home.
Mm-hmm.
Cam, You going with the Bills or the Chiefs?
I'm going to lean Bills on this one. I think that that run defense is going to make the Chiefs one-dimensional, and that offense still hasn't really done anything too special, you know, in the past few weeks. I think that defense has been what's been kind of carrying that team a little bit. Mahomes obviously is still dangerous. Those weapons are still big time. But I don't think they're going to be able to slow down the Bills' offense enough. I think Josh Allen running the football is going to be the game changer in this one. And
he's been running it more down the stretch. Yep. And I mean, it's just he's such a weapon whenever he is locked in.
Absolutely, he's an athletic freak, and yeah, I think him running the football. I think Diggs is going to come out there and be trying to make big plays the whole time. So I think I'm leaning Bills on this one. I think Josh Allen gets it done and.
Big plays do seem to be the key in Week 5 when the Bills beat their ass. The Chiefs only had one pass go longer than 20 yards. Mm. You know, that was when the Chiefs were really stuck in the mud and couldn't get any big plays.
Yeah.
And the Bills, on the other hand, I believe had 4 in that game. 2 big touchdowns. So they won the big play battle. You saw the Chiefs kind of get back on track with the the big plays against the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
But it does seem like that's the biggest key there. I do think Jerick McKinnon does give the Chiefs a pretty new weapon, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
If I'm the Chiefs, I'm kind of worried about like Tyreek Hill's production over the past 6 or 7 weeks. I mean, if you look at it, like last week he had a good game. I mean, that's obvious. He had a touchdown and a couple of receptions, but like before that, he hasn't done much of anything. Like I know I had him in fantasy. I think he had more than 10 points like one time since week 12. And that's a big deal in the playoffs when you're going to need, especially against Buffalo secondary, we're going to have to play Kelce and Hill like sideline to sideline off each other, and then maybe Mecole Hardman like gets in there a little bit. Pringle's been doing pretty good, I guess.
Yeah. Man, if only the Bills had Tre'Davious White.
Yeah, that's a big loss. That's a big loss for them.
Yeah, that would be just another level up for them there, but
I do think that Micah Hyde and Poyer can play that.
They've been really good this
year. Kelce stopper role pretty well. I mean, you've seen some teams be able to get really physical with him. Dane Cruikshank and the Titans, weirdly enough, did a fantastic job being physical with him and limiting him. And you know, that seems to be a recipe. And when you're not physical with him, he can explode for 110 yards and 2 touchdowns. So I think they're built to be able to get physical with him, slow him down. And if Tyreek Hill, you know, his inconsistency continues, the Chiefs could struggle to maybe find some offense at times.
Mahomes or Josh Allen, who do you trust more?
I still lean Mahomes, but just because, we haven't really seen Allen do it over him in the playoffs, but
who do you trust more, Hayden?
I guess I'm going to say Mahomes, but just because I feel like sometimes when Josh Allen, in the big moments, he gets stuck between like thinking about, oh, should I run this or should I like throw it? And
he always drops back and takes deeper sacks than he has to.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It just holds the ball too long sometimes.
He's too good.
Yeah.
He's too good because he thinks he can always get out of those situations. And, sometimes you just can't.
That can be problematic for sure.
That would be my reasoning.
Although I feel like Mahomes does the same thing, not with sacks, but like making throws that he probably shouldn't.
Yeah, he's throwing everywhere.
Absolutely.
I know a lot of people are going to talk about which quarterback is better, which quarterback is going to make the big plays. To me, it might be, strangely enough, when you're talking about, I think, without a doubt, the two best quarterbacks in the AFC. Like, I think to me, the actual thing is going to be like which quarterback makes the least brain dead plays. Like Allen's going to do something stupid, and Mahomes is going to do something stupid.
I'm definitely penciling Mahomes in for at least one interception, I think.
Yeah, I think you just have to at this point. Yeah,
a little SGP with just both quarterbacks to throw a pick.
I mean, I think they're both going to throw. I think they're both going to throw interceptions. Like, I mean. Or I have probably more confidence that Mahomes will throw an interception. Mm-hmm. Now, Allen's probably going to take a bad sack
or fumble or something.
But it's crazy because, again, we're talking about the two best quarterbacks. I don't want to say in the league because Aaron Rodgers exists, but two best quarterbacks in the AFC, and it might just be who doesn't do something really, really stupid.
Rams-Bucks news. Sean McVay just said Andrew Whitworth and Taylor Rapp are both out on Sunday.
That's tough for Wentworth.
For COVID? or what?
Wentworth hurt his ankle, I believe, on Monday night.
Oh, I didn't. At the end of the game, I didn't catch up.
Yeah. I don't even know what part of the game it was. I thought the second half, but maybe even earlier than that.
I also didn't watch much of that game after it was already 21-0.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was dealing with, I want to say, the sprained ankle.
Hmm.
He's been, you know, basically their left tackle for 10 years, it feels like. Or, I mean, I know he's old. I guess he hasn't been there that long, but basically for
he's 40.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least he came from the Bengals, though, but like I want to say, but he has been there basically, Sean McVay's entire tenure there. So that's a pretty big loss.
Absolutely.
Pretty big loss. Hopefully, I guess I shouldn't say hopefully, but Tristan Wirfs maybe is going to be out on the other side to kind of even it up.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams going to be out there, you know, their best starting tackle.
Both have pretty good pass rushes, so.
Is it me, or is it like we have not seen anybody out for COVID in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, COVID,
that seems kind of like
COVID doesn't exist. The Titans did have to put one guy on the list, so I don't want to like call it too much of a.
That's just like for a little placeholder. Like,
yeah, oh, he's cleared. Oh wow, great. But yeah, COVID doesn't exist in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know that.
Just it's like too, it's too scary
like
of the
last
moment.
Year.
Yeah, just like whenever. Although I'm happy COVID isn't around, so that's good.
Yeah, it's scared of the moment.
Definitely not going to be there when we were packed in all weekend. 70,000 people inside NFL stadiums. Charlie, we're almost there. This time tomorrow, you're probably going to be getting close to walking in the stadium. How soon do you go in the stadium?
I usually make the walk across the bridge from downtown 50 minutes before the game, get in there about 30 minutes before.
Okay.
Well, that was better than I thought, Charlie. I thought you were going to be like Mr. Two-Hour Guy. As soon as the gates open,
it's just
the Cowboys 49ers people.
Nah, they like to do their pregame.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already driving from Knoxville most games, so
yeah.
You know, the bars open at 2 hours before the game. Go drink for an hour, eat my nachos.
Get your mind right.
We'll
make sure I'm in my seats when it comes early. That way, when I hear the starting lineups and the,
I gotta make sure I listen to the exact right songs in the right order.
What's your win percentage at home? How often does this actually pay off for you?
We are very good at home. Even when we weren't good, we were still good at home.
And he wouldn't have been having his pregame drinks for that long, Cam, because he just turned 21.
Yeah, I mean, I've only been having pregame drinks since I was like 18, so.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Arrest this man, police. Last call on the other side is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Last call today is brought to you by the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, they want to help you get the compensation that you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit g3helpme.com or call them at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's g3helpme.com. Once again, g3helpme.com. Cincinnati Bengals are going to be saying, please help me whenever they're out there trying to tackle a fresh, rested Derrick Henry. Oh, God, I can't wait. Pounding him. Nonstop. Hey, just pounding him.
Got up to it.
Pounding him. Just going and going and going. Just running the ball right down their throats. Henry, 24 carries.
Got up, Foreman, got up to 2 hours.
24 carries. Devonta Foreman, 8 carries. Tannehill, 3, including a tutty. Just pounding him.
Got up to 2 hours to fall asleep last night. It just keeps getting worse every night.
I didn't sleep at all last night, really. I went to bed at, like, I finally fell asleep around 1, then I woke up at, like, 5.
Yeah, I went to 12:30, lay there till 3:30.
No, I'm excited.
Or 2:30.
I'm excited for you. Can't get too excited, though. One game at a time. Win this week. Then we got to take care of whoever survives the Bills-Chiefs game. Early look-ahead lines on that have the if you're wanting to, you know, start, go ahead and start thinking about it. You can maybe pay for your Super Bowl tickets, Charlie, if you take the Titans. +4 and +166 on the money line against the Chiefs at home. And +3.5, +152 on the money line against the Buffalo Bills in Nashville.
Can I bet those yet, preemptively?
Yeah. You can on FanDuel. For the NFC, the Packers would only be 2-point favorites against the Bucks, 3-point favorites against the Rams. Bucks would only be 3-point favorites against the 49ers. Rams would be 3-point favorites against the 49ers. So that's the look ahead there. All right, let's play some Pump the Brakes. Let's keep it moving. What do you got for us, Cam?
I got this happened in a post office. Okay.
Hope it's not bad.
Pump your brakes, kid.
So I think this is in Ireland. Yeah, this was in Ireland. Dead man propped up by two other men in an attempt to collect pension at post office.
Okay. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. So I guess they had to come bring proof that he was still alive. So, like, hey, just stand. We're going to prop him up. We're going to say that he's got COVID. We had to put him over here in the corner.
Sunglasses on him.
Yeah.
A dead man was brought to the post office this morning in an attempt to collect his pension in one of the most bizarre incidents that the Irish police have ever seen. Staff at the post office immediately became suspicious and contacted emergency services as basically two guys basically brought in a guy propped up into the post office, dragging his feet and all. A local woman living beside the post office.
Why didn't they put him in a wheelchair, by the way?
I don't know. People don't think this stuff through.
I feel like if you put him in a wheelchair, you might have a little bit better luck.
Every time we get a story about criminals, it's because they're dumb. But a local woman living beside the post office told how her daughter witnessed two men carrying a man into the shop. She was leaving my house at the time and said the man looked unwell as his feet were dragging the ground. It's a small shop and you're only allowed three at a time with social distancing. People were in shock as they thought he was having a heart attack. I feel awful for the staff. They suffered so many robberies over the year. They're worn out.
The pension stuff is, I guess, the pension stuff is kind of built towards, like, crime.
Yeah.
I guess, like, because, I mean, once you die, you don't get any more.
Mm-hmm. So you might as well just keep faking it.
My mom was telling me that if she dies, just to hide her body. Put her in a freezer. Keep drawing pinches. Like, what are you talking about? That sounds awful. No. It's also how you go to prison, but also, like, you keep your dead body there? What are you talking about? Like,
I mean, I wouldn't do it, but if you need to hire anybody, I wouldn't do
Cam
it.
Cam will help you?
I wouldn't do it. I'd find somebody for you, though.
How are you? We haven't talked about UFC 270 this weekend. Are you you in on this UFC, Cam?
Yeah, I am. I think the main card's pretty good.
I didn't realize this could be the last fight we ever see of Francis Ngannou.
Yeah.
Could be it for him. He is a free agent after the fight. And says he's not re-signing unless they start giving him a bunch of money. And you know how Dana is. Like, the next time we see Ngannou, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Ngannou.
Yeah, next time we see him fight might actually be like in a boxing ring against Tyson Fury.
I mean,
they've been flirting about that and how much money they could make, especially like if he wins and like retires as like the UFC heavyweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
You could then just like bill it as like, you know, the two toughest guys in the world are out here fighting, and like I think people want to watch that.
And like you said, Dana doesn't really pay, so it is a very good chance that he, you know, moves on or holds out for a while.
The main event this weekend is kind of like made out of a movie, like Ngannou is going against like his former coach.
Yeah.
And like a guy he used to spar against that was like a young prospect, and then like he's now having to go against him.
Who's he fighting?
I don't even know the guy's name. He's like a good young prospect.
Cyril Gane. I don't know his last name. It's like Gane.
Yeah, like he won like the interim heavyweight crown because they were trying to give him a title in case like basically like.
He's actually the favorite this weekend too.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see.
So they don't want Ngannou to go out on top.
They do not. No. So I would say, like, if you're betting on this, like, I guess that would be why Cyril Gane is the favorite, is because, like, if it's a decision, I'm imagining it's going to not go Ngannou's way. Although, obviously, like, he is mostly Ngannou. I can't say his name. He's, you know, got knockout power, so, like, maybe he'll stop the fight himself and leave no doubt.
Yeah,
but
he's got big knockout power. So.
Yeah, he is the underdog.
So, I bet him winning by KO is probably a decent little bet on the plus side, if you're looking for something. It should be a pretty decent card.
Nice little sports weekend. Tennessee LSU, who you got, Charlie?
Oh, yeah. That's happening, too.
That's also happening.
I got the Vols.
You got the Vols. Cam, who you got? Tennessee LSU.
Oh, LSU.
Hayden, who you got?
LSU, but probably only be watching the last 10 minutes of the game. So.
Why are you only going to be watching the last 10 minutes of the game?
Because Titans game is going to be on.
Okay.
That's kind
of
suck.
I'm not going to be watching any of the game.
Yeah.
You don't think we'll get to watch the end?
You watch the last 10 minutes.
Where are you going to watch the end? Where are you going to watch it at?
Probably after the Nashville Titans game?
It's like, pick up your phone, like run to the bar. I'm not going to be worried about the damn Vols and LSU whenever I'm celebrating a big playoff win.
True.
I'll DVR it and watch it like Sunday night or something.
No, you won't.
I'll DVR it. I'll DVR it. I like watching the Vols play, even if they lose. I like watching to see what happens.
So if we score 55 points tomorrow, you're going to rewatch that?
Yeah, because I want to see what the hell happens.
No, you're not.
Because they're going to score less, Hayden.
And if we score 55 points, who knows? No. Who knows? All right, everybody have a good weekend. The Drive is up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.